Radio.
You're listening to Bruce Downs, The Catholic Guy on cradio.org.au.
Wherever you are around the world today, it's great you can be here with us. Well, I want to talk to you about one of my heroes, but I think this person is a hero of Christians throughout history. I want to talk to you about Mary, and I want to talk about how Mary surrendered her life to God. See, when we're walking through Lent, we're asking Jesus to come more and more and more and be part of our life. We're saying, as John the Baptist did, less of me and more of you. We're saying, less of me and more of what you want for me, God, in my life. Mary epitomized that. I think this is going to bless you tremendously. This has blessed me. And I pray that today God would do something in all of our hearts. Many years ago, a Catholic priest used to ask me all the time how my personal prayer was going, and I didn't know how to answer. Well, he taught me how to pray, and my life has never been the same. It's the most important thing I do in my life. So I wrote a book called Personal Prayer for the Everyday Person that step by step helps us to pray. Have you ever noticed that so often our prayers can be just asking for things from God? And any relationship that's all about just asking for stuff is not really a very fulfilling and meaningful relationship, is it? Or have you ever noticed that so often when it comes to prayer, we just don't know what to say? Well, I'm a husband and a father of five children, and I wrote this book, Personal Prayer for the Everyday Person, for women and men like me who are busy and yet want to connect with God in some way. I would love to bless you and give you this book for no charge, for no cost. Prayer changed my life. I would not be here today if it was not for personal prayer. Write to me on this address or call me on this number, and I'll send you Personal Prayer for the Everyday Person for no charge at all. And I pray it blesses you.
We want you to have Bruce's book, Personal Prayer, for free. Call us on the number on your screen or write to us at P.O. Box 97367, Washington, D.C., 20090, 7367, and we'll send you a copy of Personal Prayer.
Well, I've called this message, Mary, a life wholly devoted. Mary, a life wholly devoted. Mary was someone who epitomizes to us someone who had an ability to say yes to God. And my prayer often is, Lord, could I be like Mary? Could I say yes like she said yes to God? Well, let's go to the scriptures and let's read from Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to give us some context to what we're going to talk about today. This is just such a wonderful passage of scripture. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and he said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He'll be great, and he'll be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He'll be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And then Mary said, "Here I am. I'm the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And then the angel departed from her. This is just a truly fantastic passage of scripture. Imagine, if you will, when I was younger, I used to imagine what this would have been like. We know that historically, often the tradition tells us that Mary was a young girl. The tradition tells us that Mary was someone who, at this point in time, was betrothed to Joseph. And so here she is, this young girl, and one day she's in her bedroom, in her house, and all of a sudden she looks up and there's an angel. And this angel turns to her and says, "Mary, you are blessed. Mary, you are blessed because the Lord God is going to come upon you and you are going to be the mother of the Savior, the Messiah. And Mary's response is fantastic. In the New Jerusalem Bible, she says this. She says, "I belong to the Lord, body and soul. Let it happen as you say." That's the Phillips translation. In the New Jerusalem, it says this: "You see before you the Lord's servant. Let it happen to me as you've said." And the angel left her. In the NIV, it says, "I'm the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Now, the word surrender, which is effectively what Mary is saying, is the word surrender means to give up. The word surrender means to give up the fight. The word surrender says, you take me where you want to take me. I'm not in control anymore. Because the first point we see in the life of Mary when we read this passage is this, is that Mary's surrender to God is total. You can write that down. Mary's surrender to God is total. To surrender means I'm going wherever you lead me. Surrender means whatever you ask of me, I'm going to go in that direction. Now, I don't know about you, but I find myself wanting to say that to God so often in my life, but finding myself struggling with in my life, find myself struggling with that totality of that yes, because I still want to be in control of my own life. I still want to be able to do the things that I want to do, but not Mary. Mary was able to go, whatever you want. It was an encounter with God and it was a response that was quick. What else do we see about Mary? Mary then questions the angel Gabriel and she says, "But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. And here she goes off and she visits Elizabeth, her relative who's become pregnant in her old age. You see, when we surrender, there's a point to be made here. The second point is this, is that surrender leads us to blessing. Surrender leads us to blessing always. Surrender leads us to this place when we say to God, "Here's my life. You take me. You do in me as you will. I'm frightened because what you might ask of me is what I'm not necessarily sure I can do, but I'm going to do what you put before me." Mary comes along and she experiences blessing in her life, that it is always associated, doing the will of God is always associated with blessing. In Luke chapter 1, verse 46, we read it says this, from the Message translation of the Bible, it says, "I'm bursting with good news. I'm dancing the song of my Savior God. God took one look at me and look what happened. I'm the most fortunate woman on earth. What God has done for me will never be forgotten. The God whose very name is holy, set apart from all others." Mary sets out of this what's called, becomes known as the Magnificat. Mary begins to worship God because of what God has done in her. And what's God done in her? God has made a promise. You're going to be the mother of the Savior of the world. That's the promise. And she immediately bursts into this time of praise and worship. You see, surrender leads us to worship. Surrender leads us to worship. In another translation of the Bible, it says it this way: "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he's been mindful and humble and of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation." Here's the point. Surrender, when we surrender our lives to God, it always leads to worship. So surrender leads us. Mary's surrender to God is total. Surrender always leads us to blessing, but surrender always leads us to worship. Why does surrender lead us to worship? For this reason. Surrender leads us to worship is for this reason. Is because when we say to God, "You're in charge and not me," we are immediately acknowledging who God is. We're acknowledging the greatness, the wonder, the power, the magnificence, that He is all-knowing, that God is creator and we are created. And so when Mary gave her total yes to God, she was acknowledging who God is. And in a sense, that's the essence of worship. The essence of worship is the acknowledgement of God and of who God is and our relationship to God. In personal prayer, a book I wrote on how to pray, the very first thing that I've learned about prayer is this, is that when you begin praying is to get perspective. And what do I mean by perspective? Perspective means to understand who you are in the light of God, because that's the beginning place of worship. Perspective says you're the creator and I'm the created. You are infinite, I am finite. You are everywhere, I'm right here. You are through all time, I'm just living right now. You can do all things, I can't. Matter of fact, in my prayer, sometimes I turn to God and say, hey, God, you know, I can't even grow hair on my head, but you made the whole world. When we surrender our lives to God, we acknowledge God for who He is. And that's what Mary does. And that's always worship, when we acknowledge God in our lives. And so Mary's surrender was total, wherever you want. Gee, and that's hard. Mary's surrender led to blessing, and then Mary's surrender obviously leads us to trust. Well, in Luke chapter 2 verse 45, if we read from the New Jerusalem Bible, it says this on the screen: and when they'd failed to find him, they went back to Jerusalem looking for him everywhere. And it happened that 3 days later they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions, and all those who heard him were astonished at his intelligence and his replies. And they were overcome when they saw him, and his mother said to him, my child, why have you done this to us? See how worried your father and I have been looking for you. And he replied, why were you looking for me? What he really said was, why are you looking for me, Mum? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house? But they didn't understand what he meant. One day, Mary and Joseph and Jesus go off, and they go on a trip, and Jesus gets lost, and they can't find him. And if any of us have ever lost a child, we know what that fear is like. Rosemary and I have 5 children, and one of the habits when our children were young is we'd put them to bed at an early hour, and then just before we were going to bed, we'd walk around the house, we'd tuck them all in, we'd give them a kiss, and then we'd go off to bed ourselves. Well, I remember walking around, and our 3rd daughter, her name is Adrian. And I remember going around to each of the kids' rooms, and when I got to Adrian, she was gone. And she was completely gone and out of the bed. And here she is, she's only 4 years old, and she's missing. And I went in, I immediately went and had a look in our bed to see if she was in our bed, but she wasn't there. I went and had a look in the other kids' beds because I thought maybe she's climbed into her sister's or brother's bed, but she wasn't there. And I walked out to Rosemary in the family room, and I said, Adrian's not here. And Rosemary goes, oh, yes, she's got to be in bed. And Rosemary came, and we went and had a look in the bed, but she wasn't there. And so we began to get a bit worried. And I looked around the house, into every room, couldn't find her anywhere. And I remember at nearly midnight walking outside into the dark, and I'm looking for a 4-year-old child outside. Well, you want to know what happens as you slowly, and the time goes on, and you can't find your child? This fear rises within you. This fear rises when you get scared. And I remember coming back into the house, and Rosemary and I were in a panic. What do we do? Where did a child go at 4 o'clock? All the windows were locked. The doors were locked. What happened? And I remember we're sitting there and we're thinking, you know, we should call the police, because we just didn't know what to do. And I remember I was standing in the passageway, and our bedroom was here, and we could look down the long passageway right to where Adrian's bed was, down the passage in her room. And as I was standing there looking, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? All of a sudden, I saw this little movement looking down the passage under her bed. And I walked down to her bed and got on the ground and looked under, and there she was on the ground underneath the bed. What had happened is she had rolled out of the bed and she had fallen on the ground, hadn't woken up, and then she'd rolled under the bed and she'd been there all along. And I was panicked. Want to know something? So was Rosemary. And here's Jesus. He's lost for 3 days. And eventually his mum finds him, his dad finds him. And it's, you know, as it says here, we were worried about you. We were worried. Another translation of the scripture says, we were greatly anxious, which is another way to say we were really, really upset. And what does Jesus say to his mum? Mum, I need to be about my father's business. In other words, mum, trust me. See, to surrender means to trust that whatever direction, whatever way that God is leading us in our business life, in our investments, in our home, in our marriages, with our children, in our friendships, in our desires, whatever that is that we are called, if we've yielded our life to God and we said, God, I'm here, take me, that God will look after us. Surrender means to trust. Surrender is total. That surrender leads us to blessing. It leads us to worship. That surrender leads us to trust. But then it calls us to something else. And we read in John chapter 2, verses 1 to 5 on the screen, it says, on the third day a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee, and Jesus' mother was there. And Jesus and his disciples had been invited to the wedding. And when the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, they've no more wine, son. And he says to his mum, dear mother, why do you involve me? Jesus replied, my time is not yet come. And his mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Do whatever he tells you. Now, they go off to a wedding. Now, weddings in those days were fairly long times in Jewish history. They went on, in tradition, they went on for a number of days. And here is Jesus and Mary. They go off to a wedding. And Mary notices that they have run out of wine. Now, my wife, Rosemary, tells me from time to time that women are more observant than men. I don't know what you think about that, but Rosemary tells me that women are more observant than men. But I really think, and she goes to Jesus and says, hey, they've forgotten the wine, but I really think that the men would have realized that the wine, the alcohol, had run out. But nevertheless, Jesus says to her, mum, he says, what this got to me that they've run out of wine? And what does Mary do? Mary, who's been with Jesus for 30 years, she completely turns around away from Jesus, who said, mum, what's that my business, says to the stewards, do whatever he says. What's happened to Mary by being with Jesus, by surrendering her life to his will, is that surrender means to have confidence in God. That when we give our lives to God, that she is there with, that she's confident that God will not let things down or her down. Surrender means to have confidence in God. You ask this of me. I've given you my life. I've walked with you and I'm doing what you're asking me to do. And even when I don't understand it, whether when you've disappeared and you're lost or here we are now at a wedding, then there's got no, I've come to know you and be with you for so long. I trust you now. We also then read in Luke chapter 2, so surrender means to have confidence. And in Luke chapter 2, it says, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. And so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who were lying in the manger. And when they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. So that obviously is the birth of Jesus, that Christmas night, that first Christmas night. And here, all these things happen, shepherds and music and people visiting and gifts and presents and wise people. And what does it say Mary did? What does it say Mary did? It says Mary pondered these things in her heart. In other words, as we give our lives to God and we begin to experience a different kingdom, we begin to experience a different way of living because we begin to live with a kingdom mindset, but we live by God's what God wants rather than we're living by what we want. That always means this surrender leads us to deep reflection. Surrender means deep reflection, where we stop and we ask ourselves, what are you asking of me? What is this? What does all of this mean to live by a different standard and a different way? It's in surrendering that we find faith. It's in surrendering that we find faith. It's in surrendering that as we ponder the deep realities of a new way of living, it's in surrendering that we come face to face with who we are in the light of God. And Mary is such an amazing example because she's a life wholly given to God. And as we ponder that life with God, what happens is we get led into a life of intimacy. It's little wonder that Christians from the beginning have held Mary up as someone whose response to God was so remarkable that she is an example of our response to God, where we're called to live kingdom ways by new rules, new ways, new ways of thinking. And as we live in those new ways of thinking, as we live in those new ways of behaving, we experience change in our lives in ways that we could never, ever have imagined. Mary, a life wholly devoted. Lent is about you and I having the chance to surrender our lives to God in the same way. Dear Father, we pray that we, like Mary, could surrender our lives fully to your graciousness, to a new way of being and seeing. Lord God, be with us. May our surrender to you be total. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Want to watch this message again? You can do so at brucedownsthecatholicguide.com.
I was born into a Catholic family and attended a Catholic school, but God and church meant very little to me until I met a Catholic priest who introduced me to God in a very personal and a very real way, and it changed everything. You see, to make complete sense of our lives, we need to see ourselves not just in the light of the here and now and what we can see, but in the light of eternity. It's only when we see the big picture that we as human beings make sense. We, in all of our colours and sizes, are spectacular. Thoughts and dreams could never have imagined us. Technology created us, or luck have caused us. We're the work of a being we call God, who's so far beyond our reckoning, their definition is inadequate and words are so lacking in describing just who God is. Some say we're just an aberration of the universe that will pass to nothing. Some say with their words they do not believe, while most say by their actions we do not know. And yet God wants, despite what we think, to know us and be close to us in times when we're successful and in those times we come face to face with our own weaknesses and the challenges we face in life. God is not far away. He is for us. How do I know this? Well, it's because I found God. I found God right in the middle of the church, and God came to me, and I've never been the same. No one has ever given me a greater gift than that Catholic priest who introduced me to God, and now it's my turn to pass it on.
Many years ago, a Catholic priest used to ask me all the time how my personal prayer was going, and I didn't know how to answer. Well, he taught me how to pray, and my life has never been the same. It's the most important thing I do in my life. So I wrote a book called Personal Prayer for the Everyday Person that step by step helps us to pray. Have you ever noticed that so often our prayers can be just asking for things from God? And any relationship that's all about just asking for stuff is not really a very fulfilling and meaningful relationship, is it? Or have you ever noticed that so often when it comes to prayer, we just don't know what to say? Well, I'm a husband and a father of 5 children, and I wrote this book, Personal Prayer for the Everyday Person, for women and men like me who are busy and yet want to connect with God in some way. I would love to bless you and give you this book for no charge, for no cost. Prayer changed my life. I would not be here today if it was not for personal prayer. Write to me on this address or call me on this number and I'll send you personal prayer for the everyday person for no charge at all. And I pray it blesses you.
We want you to have Bruce's book, Personal Prayer, for free. Call us on the number on your screen or write to us at P.O. Box 97367, Washington, D.C., 20090-7367, and we'll send you a copy of Personal Prayer.
Well, the Bible tells us that when we have needs, that we should come to God and we should ask Him to bless our situation. I've learned that prayer, as one great person says, is what rules the hands that rules the world. In other words, prayer affects the way God responds to us because He asks us, because He loves us so much and wants us to come to Him. Well, why don't you write to me on the addresses on the screen and let me join with you in praying that God would be fantastic in your situation. Now, if you couldn't get to church this week, or for some reason you just don't think you can go to church right now, I want you to know this, that we are called to live a life that is totally surrendered to God. As a matter of fact, we can only really experience the kingdom in its fullest extent by the way we commit and give our lives over to God. That it's got to be all in. It's got to be boots and all. That we need to say to God, God, to the best I can today, this is what I'm doing for you. And boots and all doesn't mean it's the most we'll ever give. It means the best we can do today, where we're in, with the circumstances we're in and where our heart is. Well, I pray that you be blessed by this message today. And don't forget, we'll see you next time. And remember, wherever you are around the world, God is never far from you.
You've been listening to Bruce Downs, The Catholic Guy on cradio.org.au.